Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So it can be a very liberating thing to be able to see that the body is not who and what we really are. The body and the mind, or body and spirit, are not the same thing. And this can leave us with no fear of death, for example. A very liberating thing. We're not so worried about, anxious about the things of the body. You can still you still feel moved to look after the body. That doesn't change. You have compassion and wisdom of seeing the body not, as not self, arises naturally with compassion. These two arise together if we're seeing correctly, seeing in a wise way. Compassion is a natural result. So there's no lack of care, for there's a tremendous lightness. because the result of this practice is this kind of lightness of mind, then to look to see this in a light way is what is conducive. So this is a practice we play with. So in my eyes there are many ways in which we can see this in our daily lives. We don't know our bodies so well, and we don't have so control over them. But we don't even know them so well. This, to me, is quite insightful. you imagine, you remember what it looks like to see a baby who's just starting to walk or crawl, doesn't know how to do it very well yet. Particularly walking, you see a baby tottering along, once they get the hang of it, and then there's the head floating along there, and then the arms and legs all over the place. He does not really know how to do it right yet, just kind of getting along. But we can realise through our lives, we're coming up against the body in various ways. We can realise we don't really know how it works, or don't really know what's good for it, or this kind of things. Not really in control of it. So there'll be various examples of this. We don't know how. We don't really know when we're hungry or thirsty. For example, we're just eating because we fancy it, or drinking because we fancy. Not really going with the sense of hunger. I realise this. So. Becoming a monk and not eating in the afternoon, is just having one main meal of the day, and you begin to learn a lot about food and how a lot of the desire, what's desire for food feel like, and what is actually the real need for food, what does that feel like. So we can be deceived by our own minds that we can think we need food, and actually it's just that we desire the taste or the whatever. If we see this very in a very light way, then we can see, oh, look at that. I don't even know how much to eat. I don't even know what hunger's like, actually. God, that's amazing. I mean, got to the 35 years old. And can't distinguish hunger from craving. that funny? Or we can reflect often, encourage on retreats. I reflect people to look at the body in different ways. There are many people who study anatomy would say that the human body is not yet fully adapted to the upright stance. Actually, the spine, in particular, this is made to be horizontal. It's designed to be horizontal, not vertical. So it works perfectly well for animals that go along on all fours, four-legged animals. It's horizontal. It gives a whole lot of trouble and grief to a lot of people, including myself, who are upright. It's not really designed to be that way. It's designed to be horizontal. You find that, the cure for a lot of back problems is to be horizontal. These kinds of reflections, if we think of this in a playful way, it can be quite liberating. And you think, oh, it was tough. No wonder though, it felt a bit awkward, this thing. A bit like that. But this can also be quite strong. If meditation goes well, then we can begin to just see the body in a different way without thinking anything. So I remember being in a shower once, taking a shower, I was bending down to dry my legs. I was looking at my bare legs, all pink and hairy, and I just burst out laughing. It looks so absurd, the kind of pink, hairy things. But seeing them in a different way, in a very calm, peaceful, but also a very light way. A lack of attachment then is not a heavy thing, it's a very, very light, joyous thing, playful thing. And so often it's our seriousness that's a mark of our attachment. Our seriousness about something, take something seriously, then we can be pretty sure that there's some attachment there. And of course, yes, this is something that unless we're enlightened, this is there, it's always going to be there. Realise, well, yes, okay, so I've got attachment to these things, I can't let go of it yet. That's just the way it is. So I've got attachments to all kinds of things, actually. If I can't let go of that one yet. Ajahn Chah used to say this is about 70% of the practice is knowing that you should let go and not being able to. But as we go on, we try and let go of the most unskillful things, and we hang on to a few more skillful ones, to skillful things. But the body is the crucial one, and so this is the one that we can work at in a playful way. And we can afford it. You could say that small attachment, small trouble, big attachment, big trouble. The big attachment that we have is to the body, so big trouble. Our smaller attachments are small trouble. So I offer this for your reflection.